I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
I just want to point out real quick, I don't even know if we'll use this for the cold opening, because Ashley and I, we were just talking a little bit of hockey. Imagine that, hockey on this podcast.
2 episodes in a row.
Right? And of course, just as I start talking, car is slowly driving past. Slowly, slowly, slower still. I was just kind of pulling over.
Not fast and not furious. Slow it's like, and amiable.
Let's ride, family, carefully.
Let's ride to the bowling alley.
We're gonna have fun.
Is it any wonder why we're still going on and on and on? Does anybody ever ask what happened to that one we took?
Hi, you're listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past. I am the ghost of Letty Ortiz.
And I am the remote control car that Roman brings into the police evidence room.
Oh my god, I have notes on that.
What is up, fam? How are you?
I am so good. Happy Pride Month.
Right? Happy Pride. And also, we will also be celebrating Pride come July 1st. Don't even worry about it.
That's right. Pride is all year.
And speaking of Pride, I'm not the first to make this declaration, but I know it's had a lot of reading between the lines, but I guess there is this initiative push to kind of present the Fast and Furious franchise as being like barely overtly like queer coded, and I'm kind of here for it.
I sent you a video. I remember doing it because I was nervous about sending it to you. I sent you a video about Too Fast, Too Furious, and I wish I could remember the content creator's name. I'll look in my history and see if I can find it, and if I do, I'll add it to the show notes. Hi, editors. No, it's me from the future editing this podcast. The video that I'm trying to pull here and can't seem to remember for the life of me is a video essay on YouTube called The Too By Too Furious Video Essay, and the content creator's name is Ben from Canada. It's a good one, so check it out. It's only about 20 minutes. So, all right, that's all. Bye. He did a whole analysis of Too Fast, Too Furious, basically analyzing the Roman-Brian relationship, and basically was like, Brian and Roman are bisexual icons. Don't at me.
I love that. I generally do.
This is our Pride Month movie.
Right?
Don't at us.
No, and dead up though, like I was thinking about, because the reason why I even brought that up is there's this post online, and again, I can't remember the creator because I'm trying to actually do better with that. But essentially, it was like almost like a conversation thread on social media about how the character Dominic Toretto is pretty much a pansexual icon, referring to the scene in Fast 4 when he's in Braga's garage looking around, and Giselle comes up to him and basically is like, I guess, I don't want to say hitting on him, or at least flirting with him. And, you know, basically he's like, oh, all you care about is cars. And, you know, what do you say? I forgot what the question she asked. Something along the line of like, are you just one of those guys who enjoys a nice body of a car or something like that? Basically being like, you prefer cars over women. To which he responds, yeah, what do you say? And it's like, I enjoy a good body regardless of the make or something like that. And I'm like, that pretty much is my version of the Schitt's Creek reference with the wine. So I'm like, you know what? I actually buy that a lot. Yeah. It's awesome.
I love that.
So after doing like what? 2 episodes of Mass Effect Andromeda, we are jumping into another beloved franchise that is very convoluted, but also secretly fun. Fast and Furious.
I felt bad after Well, and what's funny is I think after doing the giant Mass Effect Andromeda recording, we still left that recording where you liked it more than I did. But at the same time, I was like, I feel bad for making him marathon. Because we legitimately recorded for over 4 hours. Towards the end of that second recording, I don't know, because I haven't heard the finished product yet. I know I felt it in my soul where I'm like, I want to be done, but I'm still mad. I still have more to complain about, but also I need to go to sleep because I have work.
Don't worry about it. We are pretty much the BioWare devotees, so trust me, we will have more conversations about that game.
Oh my god, Hot Dragon Summer. Speaking of Pride Month. Hot Dragon Summer has treated your girl quite nicely. We're getting the new Dragon Age game comes out in fall. And because it's a BioWare game, we figured out immediately the most important thing, which is that literally you can date anybody you want. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
This game be gay as hell, and we love it.
Let's go.
So let's go.
Also, very subtly, as someone who's famously gone on the record to say, like, I don't remember Inquisition. I don't remember even playing it. Your girl over here, and it's very sweet. But basically, it was like, here, I'm going to mail you a copy of the game. Get caught up, nerd. It's like, I'm tired of making these references and not anyone appreciating them. So that's okay. Because I was like, you know what? That's playing the long game right there. That's Batman shit.
Well, and I sent it to you and I was like, hey, just so you know, if you want the most romance options when you do finally play this, play as a female elf. You have the most options. Have fun. Bye.
Oh man, and I still feel like I want to go back and like do a live stream of McGarnagle because
she's my hero.
Yeah, so that all Renegade Mass Effect run I had teased during a while ago, I've been streaming it for Ash and it's a lot of fun. But yeah,
she's my hero.
It is. I love her. She is my new hero, and she's constantly flicking a lit e-cigarette at the face of authority. I feel like she would smoke e-cigarettes. I don't feel like she would sully herself with nicotine.
No, of course not.
It's harder to hate people when your lungs are corroded.
That's right. It's harder to yell at them.
A message for the Ad Council.
Oh, man.
Now that we are all here, Helge, watching car and explosion movies.
That's right.
So, I don't know like where to start because I know you have said you didn't really watch a lot of like the newer Fast and Furious movies. Because I know you and I watched a few, but was this among the ones you hadn't seen, or was this one you had watched like when it first came out, like back in 2011 or whatever?
No, this was one that the first time I watched it, I watched it with you.
Oh damn, that's a terrible way to watch this movie.
Hi, editor's note part two. The name of the graph that I'm trying to pull is a supply and demand graph. I was almost there. But if you just type in supply and demand graph into Google and look at the images, you'll get a picture of what I'm blathering about for the next like 2 minutes. I'm so sorry that I tried to put an AP Econ reference into this podcast about a car movie. I'll never do it again. I'm so sorry. Back to the show. So I talked about on a previous episode, I feel like the Fast and the Furious franchise is like one of those fucking graphs. It's from my economy class. I can picture it. It's like the demand arrow is going one way and the other arrow is going the other way. It doesn't matter. Anyway. So these movies kind of exist on a parallel between like silly and grounded. And essentially like you've got one line that's, you know, one axis that's silly and the other axis that's grounded. And you can kind of plot where you are in relation to what your preference is and kind of figure out where your favorite is going to be. And for me, like this is it. Like this movie here is the perfect balance of like silly shit and grounded. Absolutely. Which isn't to say that like I don't like when they go to space or do the submarine underground or whatever. Like that stuff is also fine. But like for me, this movie is the most fun. And that I enjoyed the most out of the ones that I've seen so far. Because I haven't seen 9 or 10. I do know they go to space though.
Yeah, unfortunately that one once you're doing that, there was no way of avoiding that spoiler.
Yeah.
And I will have thoughts about 9, but not in that scene specifically, but not for the reason people think, but like it's funny you should say that because you're 100% correct, considering the fact that this movie is that perfect balance, like you said, but this is sort of where it goes from being like action movies that I really enjoy to, oh crap, now this is making me think about things. And now we're 100% locked in. Because like I told Ash when we first talked about doing this episode, I'm going to try my best to not like get like weirdly emotional or gushy, but like for our crew, our group of friends that we like play video games with, this is that movie where it's like, dang, we really kind of did that shit, didn't we?
I have some GTA related notes in here as well.
Oh my God, let's go. We might, you know what? We're already just locking it in. It's a two-parter because there's no way we're going to be able to contain all this in one episode. Don't even worry about it. And also, Ash's notes really are my favorite thing about doing these like movie deep dives. So I have notes, but they're more just straight observations. So I want to just go off of like what you got because I don't want to ramble. And I feel like you're going to pick up on certain things. And I watch certain scenes and be like, I cannot wait to see if Ash says something about this. So what's our first one?
Okay. So my like first like quarter page of notes was like me readdressing stuff that I talked about in the two-parter we did on Fast 4. So
okay,
those episodes are not necessarily required reading, but
they are
sure.
Because much like the actual movies, they are worth revisiting because you'll go back to be like, oh, that's what these two goobers were talking about in this other one.
Yes. So in that, I'm assuming it was the second part. In that one, I know for a fact that I complained about the end of 4 because it's stupid.
First off, how dare you?
Okay, this is why it's stupid. So at the end of 4, we see Dom completes character arc and gets arrested and gets sentenced and is going to jail. And you're like, okay, character arc complete. Check the box. We love it. Let's go. And then they being Brian and Mia and some other folks.
Rio and Santo?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Leo, not Rio. I think it's Leo.
Yes. They essentially put a plan into place to break him out of jail. And then they do that. And I complained about it there where I felt like you didn't need to do it at the end of 4. It could have waited until the beginning of 5. And I'm going to double down on that complaint, especially because they did it. They did it again.
Okay.
I completely forgot about that where they rehashed it. It's like just.
But here's the thing, though. Sorry.
No. I'm like, just let the movie end with him being in jail. Let it be the end of character. Let there be a cliffhanger. If Endgame has taught us anything, it is that sometimes it is okay to know that something is going to happen and that the mystery of it and the fun part of it is figuring out how the thing that you know is going to happen is going to happen. We knew they were going to break him out of jail somehow, some way. We could have just waited the 2 years in between movies, let him be in jail, let people be in their feelings about it, and then show the cool breakout of jail scene in the beginning of 5 and be done with it. Sorry, I got a little heated and I yelled over you. That was very rude.
It's fine. It's okay. It's literally, no, because I'm literally just like, objection! My counter argument is, okay, couple of points. One, the more I watched it, and I watched this twice, like literally back to back, because I finished it last night, starting again today. Mm-hmm. I think it was orchestrated from the start. He was never intending to actually go to jail. It is a thing that they reference this later on. But the idea is at this point, when Hobbs says it, he's already escaped prison twice, which assumes it was once before, mm-hmm. which you don't find that out at that point. So I feel like, because when you watch 4 again, right, the mm-hmm. scene when the cars are pulling up, because when I very first saw that movie in theaters, yes, there is the implication that it can, like, they were basically driving there to break him out, or like maybe they're just driving along him to show support. But watch that scene again, because when he hears the engines, he's smiling. He does that weird, like, Vin Diesel grin. I think it was orchestrated from the beginning. I think they were always intended to break him out. There was no way they were ever going to leave him behind bars.
Well, and I don't think that they were going to actually let him either. But you, as the audience member, could be led to believe that that were the case.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was the thing, like, maybe they were just showing him to, like they were just driving alongside the car. But I also wonder if Justin Lin leaves a cliffhanger-y enough to hopefully option for another movie to finish out his idea, because supposedly he had these outlined from, like, a while. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder if maybe by leaving it that way, being like, all right, if we get another movie, cool, we'll actually continue the breakout sequence. But if we don't get another movie, it just leaves it open-ended, like, it's implied that they break him up, but we don't actually get to film it. I don't know, because I really do think that they intentionally were breaking him out, like he was never going to go to jail.
And at the end of the day, it's subjective. For me personally, I feel like you don't need it. It's repetitive, and I feel like it undercuts the end of 4. But yes, if you're trying to do a sneaky sequel kind of tie-in thing, you know, Avengers Initiative kind of deal, then, like, yeah, sure, I get why it's there.
I mean, granted, I don't know, but I do agree that it does undercut less the ending of 4, but also the beginning of this. But I guess at the same time, they figured, let's just get right into it. Because one thing I do say about this movie is that they pretty much do get to the point. Like, it doesn't meander too much. So I guess they figured, all right, well, we'll start off with this explosive scene, and we get an exposition dump from, like, Pert Hapley.
Let's begin the show by starting it.
The other note I had, I've got a couple of notes about the breaking him out of the prison bus thing. My first note is that I am super fucking stoked to see Mia do stuff. We love when Mia does stuff.
We love when Mia does stuff. I have that note down, is that Mia... No, what I wrote down is this franchise, in parentheses up to this point, failed Mia.
Yes.
Horribly. We get all these implications of her being, like, essentially the more... well-adjusted Toretto out of the family, but yet if she needs to and has to, she will either throw down and drive, like, and she's a damn good driver, which is also cool because it makes their father, his arc, a lot cooler, because we do get some conversation about that later on, mm-hmm. but it also shows that, yes, was she maybe the driver that, like, you know, her brother made out to be, but it wasn't that she didn't learn how to build cars and drive cars. So it is kind of really cool from, like, a parenting standpoint, especially father-daughter.
So I had written down that essentially up to this point, because you're very right, like, we're rarely shown that women in this universe are capable, especially Mia, who is almost exclusively relegated to sexy lamp status. She's just a sexy lamp, right, that hangs around. And the thing that I love more than just seeing her do stuff is the fact that she seems very zen and very confident doing it. There is this sort of quiet comfort there. And then you remember, duh, like, Dom is her brother. They are siblings. They're genetically engineered to be driving little car freaks. And then again, like, if you're me, you just get sad all over again that she's essentially just a sexy tuna fish sandwich making lamp throughout the rest of these movies.
And it gets better, and at times it still isn't great, but again, we'll get to that in a later movie.
Yes.
Because you're absolutely right with her. And one thing that is an interesting dynamic in these movies that we do get to see early on before we're introduced to the whole group proper is more their dynamic. Because if you think about it, we haven't seen a lot of scenes with Mia and Dom, like, outside of her talking about him to Brian when he's basically interrogating her during their courtship.
Yeah, that was a hot date.
I imagine just me just sitting with Eileen, shout out to Latina Nerd. We're just sitting down on our first date, be like, so what's up with your brother?
He just like whips out a notepad, starts taking notes.
Right? He's pushing the wire on his stomach.
Right. Can you lean forward? I need to just be closer into the mic. I mean, you look more beautiful in the candlelight. Ooh.
No, but seriously, what's up with Dom? But like, we go through all this, and yet we actually get to see their dynamic because, you know, you had said something, and that was the perfect summation of Dom in an earlier episode about how he's barely contained rage, mm-hmm. where she is kind of the calm to that storm. Granted, while she has hers is actually like focus. So like, yeah, she will beat the absolute shit out of somebody. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times they do provide a counterbalance, and it is unfortunate because their dynamic is worth exploring just as siblings. But you're right. We get to plot stuff and Sexy Lamp, and then I guess eventually then motherhood.
Yeah.
Because this isn't my joke. Another podcast that's far more popular than us that I'm not going to mention had talked about this movie in other movies. And the one joke they keep coming back to is that the true villain of the Fast and Furious franchise is parenthood. That basically they'll refer to characters as being killed by having kids. So much so that a later movie deliberately like referenced it, which is, I can't wait till we get to the later movies because it gets really meta. But yeah, like Mia's great in this movie.
Yeah.
And like, I want Jordana Brewster to be a part of that all-female Fast and Furious franchise if they're still going forward with that, because I feel like she can be, not the Dominic Toretto, like, I don't want her to be like her brother, but like, I feel like she could totally be the lead in a situation like that if Letty, for some reason, is not in those movies.
Mm-hmm. So this movie is peak Mia, and I love that. We love Mia.
Peak Mia. Agreed.
I introduced a counter for this movie. Something that you specifically will be very familiar with as far as me complaining about things.
Oh, here we go.
I called
it a butch.
No. I called it the "that's not how physics do" counter.
Did you really? Are yes. you going to send him a since our own podcast? Okay, are we referring to the bus though? Because if referring to the bus, I do agree.
Okay.
But I'm going to be the contrarian.
Multiple things get the "that's not how physics do"
okay.
note. But that's not how physics do, number one. The prison bus hits Brian's muscle car. The bus proceeds to barrel roll several times. Like, we're talking like 3 or 4 full rotations. Meanwhile, Brian's car sits perfectly still and is not harmed in any way. Like, okay,
I will.
I'm not gonna sit here, and I mentioned this in my notes. Like, I'm not gonna sit here, like, sit.
No, here we're gonna do. Actually, matter of fact, cue the music. All right, go.
Roll credits.
I'm not gonna cinema sins this movie, but at the same time, like, there are just some things where I'm like, this is very silly. This is not how physics do. So we're introducing the "not how physics do" counter.
All right. My answer to all of these points are going to be, I feel like the Fast and Furious franchise is also in the same universe as GTA.
Yes, I understand.
Only because we've driven buses and you've known how those things go.
I did make a point. Okay. I feel like I need to bring this up every time I talk about anything. I like stuff.
I know you do. And I also know I like that you like stuff, but I'm also mean I probably shouldn't needle you, because I'm sure at one point you will probably garrote me.
No, you're fine. So I do like stuff. I like this movie. Again, I said this already. Like, this is my favorite of these movies. So I am going to sit here and make fun of it, because, like, that's where the jokes live. But please understand that, like,
you hear that?
I'm here. I'm bought in. But at the same time, there are certain things that, even with me being bought in, I'm still like, that's not how physics do. And so those are the things that got dinged by the "not how physics do" counter.
Honestly, this opening scene could be a podcast. This might be, honestly, we might cook and do 3 parts of this, because this prison bus is amazing. Because this movie and this franchise generally does this thing that I love every time, where the audience will probably have a nonverbal reaction or thought to an event they saw, and have the dialogue, which I know is intentional, because a lot of times you do have to lead your audience, especially those who maybe aren't good at inferring, but pointing out a thing that they know that someone's going to complain about. And I don't know if Justin Lin, because I know he co-wrote some of the later movies, but I don't remember if he co-wrote this, because he's very good at doing this stuff, which is why I love him. But he goes out of his way to point out with the one reporter, oh, this daring prison break, which resulted in zero casualties. I'm like, how? How did this crash result in zero casualties?
Yeah.
There's no way that not one person, I mean, I guess they could have been horribly maimed, but like, you mean to tell me not one person died in this? That bus, like you said, rotated more times than like our own orbits. It's fucking crazy.
Like, nobody choked on a peanut while they were smashing into the ground multiple times.
Wait, is this like a Spirit Airlines flight? Like, they're handcuffed to a chair. Who's eating peanuts?
It's a long drive to the prison. Sometimes you need a little snack.
And Toretto being like, where's my in-bus movie?
Right? Like, you're not yourself when you're hungry. They're just trying to quell everybody getting mad because their blood sugar got low. That's all.
Oh, I was going to say, so you told me that peanuts are a part of like the prison complex to keep.
Sure.
Sorry, I just thought about this whole thing and this dude just trying to eat a peanut and then just, it's so tragic. It's so tragic. Dude's already going to jail on top of then chokes on a peanut during a prison break. He had no idea what's going to happen.
And he was innocent.
Yeah, let's pour one out for choking on a peanut, dude.
Yeah, he didn't do that crime that you thought he did.
Hey. Not to mention, we actually see the scene where he walks into the bus, so we can actually maybe try to figure out which of these guys choked on a peanut during this brazen prison prison bus escape.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, I can't get over the peanut.
You know what? I'm gonna...
Oh, no.
Put a stamp on it. I'm mailing it to myself right now. I'm writing a movie about Peanut Guy.
Okay.
And I'm going to get Justin Lin to direct it. So there. Suck on that. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I have a dumb note about the Chrysler Redeemer statue. That is not funny to anyone but me. I can't see the Christ the Redeemer statue without thinking of a dumb Lindsay Ellis joke where she is apologizing for having to cancel a Brazilian book tour by saying, hand to your very large God, we were going to come out this time. And yes, it's a dumb joke, but we've established that I laugh at dumb things.
Also, I will come to Brazil. I promise. We were going to go in 2020, but there was, you know, there was a thing.
Feliz com a escolha dela.
Hand to your very, very large Christ. We were going to come in 2020. We'll come eventually.
That's adorable. I just know that there's got to be whoever took that one like drone or helicopter shot of that statue. I would have trademarked the shit out of that, because that same shot, the same lighting, uh-huh, the same angles has been used in every movie that's ever took place, even near Brazil. And look, I'm not... Because I feel like, I think we actually do have some Brazilian listeners, and I am in no ways like shaming y'all, but it's just, I just feel like whoever owns that particular shot must be like living off the residuals, because they use that shot multiple times in this movie as if somehow you've forgotten where we are.
Yeah, just in case.
At the same time, I don't know if it's like a thing, like, I don't know, Vin Diesel's like, look, we're going to make sure and rep as hard as we can for Brazil.
Well, because that's the thing is like... For untraveled, uncultured people who may not know, like, that's a big obvious thing. It's like, you know, cutting to Paris and we show the Eiffel Tower kind of deal. It's a cultural shorthand.
Yeah.
So, like, I get why we do it multiple times. And it's just very, it just made me think of that dumb joke, and then I giggled to myself about it and then wrote it down. So.
I do have a note. Around the time when we are interested in being in Rio, is I love that everybody speaks fluent Portuguese now.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a, like, me making fun of the movie kind of thing.
No.
But It is interesting because I almost wonder if there is a scene where, like, Brian and Mia are legit, like, on the run, either on a boat or otherwise, trying to get to Rio and, like, reading conversational Portuguese on the way.
All doing and, like, Duolingo Mia on their phone.
Right?
I can't break my streak.
They're racing through, like, they're still somehow drag racing doing Duolingo.
Oh, man.
Because, like, I can buy Mia, like, learning most of the language. I mean, we get the idea that the kid stayed in the book. So, like, yeah, she definitely knows what she's doing. Brian, not so much. Granted, he doesn't actually speak Portuguese. It's really only, what, Mia and, like, Vince?
Mia and Vince, which, again, makes sense.
Okay. You know what, though? I withdraw my protest. Please continue.
I don't, because if we, then we have to take out the Duolingo jokes. my next note is Leo pointing at screen.gif. Oh, hey, it's Vince. Vince is back. We haven't seen Vince in a while.
We haven't seen Vince in a while. Matter of fact, this is 10 years because the first movie is what, 2001?
Yeah.
So this is 2011. Yeah, it's been literally 10 years and
Vince looks good. Oof,
my guy Vince. He looks great. Yeah. Like, my guy Vince. Though my headcanon is that he is the same character he was in Blade 2. So somehow, I don't know, vampire reincarnation.
What I love is that you can feel the awkward all over this. Because essentially, Brian and Mia have separated from Dom. Dom's doing a thing. And they get to Rio and they're looking for Vince because they know that he's there. And so when Brian and Mia meet up with Vince for the first time, like, you can feel it's like all that leftover yuckiness, animosity kind of stuff from the first movie. You can still feel it there, even though, like, it's been years. And as we'll find out, like, Vince has moved on and all of this other stuff. But, like, I appreciate that that's there because I think that everybody can kind of empathize with the idea of, like, past you and present you coming together to be like, man, like, I'll tolerate this guy. But also still, like,
I don't fuck with you.
Fucking hate this dude a little bit.
Yeah, because really, if you think about it, like, and I think we had said on the first recording or the second part of the first Fast and Furious movie, Brian really is the true antagonist of the first Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. He does, you know, break up this family. And yeah, maybe were they great to each other? No, not always. But someone like this outside force came in and destroyed this family for the sake of, you know, a cop gig, which fine, I know that's his job, but I did, as I rewatched this movie, feel more and more bad for Vince. And this is how I know, like, Vin Diesel and them are, like, is our big, like, anime people, because Vince is that character in every anime, who shonen especially, who comes in is an absolute shit, who's just big talking, constantly getting in the mix with people, and you spend so much of, like, those first couple of episodes or even, like, series, depending on how long it is, really hating this person. But then you see that character again, and all of a sudden, you love them enough just in time for them to die.
Yep. Yep.
Because Vince really is the true, like, I think, emotional core of this movie. Because I wrote down, I really feel bad for Vince. A brief deleted scene, which I actually found through the app that I used to stream it. Mm-hmm. A brief deleted scene shows him introducing his wife Rosa and son Nico to Brian and Mia. He built a new family despite losing Dom, Letty, Jesse, Leon, and his mother. Because there's another deleted scene in the first movie when that scene where they're, of course, having a cookout and Vince is the last one there. Like, when he leaves, once he notices that Brian's there. When he comes back, you know, he's really sullen because what they cut out is there's a brief exchange of they're asking, how's your mom doing? And it's basically, he kind of sits along the lines of, like, you know, any day now they can lose her because she was in the hospital. I don't know if they said exactly why, but it makes his character much more important because of everybody who lost all this family, he felt it the most. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we at least got him to, you know, be here and get to actually close out his story arc And this is, the movies will do this time and time again through varying degrees of success, but I'm really glad that they rounded out Vince where he's not just the asshole who's constantly trying to like sleep with Mia, where he actually in this grew up a little bit, like a lot actually. Like now he's a father, he's a family man, and you could tell he's head over heels for that kid.
Yeah. Also, that kid's fucking cute.
He's fucking adorable. Good job, Vince. Really hope that they come back in a future Fast and Furious because.
That's what I wanted. Remember that little kid Fast and Furious cartoon that came out a
few
years ago? That's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be in the future, like all their kids, like kind of like Muppet Baby style. But that's not.
Yeah, because they basically have a kid, Dom and Brian now.
Yeah.
Huh. I feel like they're doing it. They're playing a long game because once this storyline's over, no, this is going to be the next, like, they're going to find a way to keep that going. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Well, these movies make $11 million. So, like, if that's an easy way, you know, Fast and Furious Gen Alpha, you know, they're out there driving cars, yelling skibbity toilet and whatever. If that makes $11 billion, then so be it. It's fine. Whatever. Capitalism.
That's okay. Sign, I'll write that one. Honestly, though, can it be like, I don't know, like Gin Alpha Romeo or something? We got to put a car thing
in. Of course. Gin Alpha Romeo.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Do you have a note in there about Rosa at all in that scene? Because does it bug anybody else or did it just bug me or am I overthinking things?
I went on a rant about the Mia pregnancy thing, so we can,
okay.
We'll tackle your note first because I have feelings.
But it's another one of those writing things that, and again, I know this movie, like a lot's going on and they are trying to hit the bullet points because even though 3 and 4 are like very well loved and are kind of like the cult hits in this franchise, mm-hmm. I know that they had to make money, like, because they were kind of bleeding money with the 4th one. So, like, I get it. We had to go, like, hit all the bullet points. But a couple of more lines of dialogue would have made that scene, if they absolutely had the need to put it in there because they had to foreshadow the whole idea, mm-hmm. I just feel like you could have at least added a little bit more dialogue. A couple of seconds wouldn't have hurt fleshing out the scene and not making it as weird as it came off.
Yeah. It does feel like it has a little bit of a pacing problem to start. Like, we are really trying to hurry up to get where we want to go. And where we want to go is all the heist stuff.
Right.
Which is fine. Hey, man, I'm here for the heist stuff. We're all here for the heist stuff. Let's be real. So maybe do one thing less. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we could drop one of these things and table it for the next movie or something. I don't know.
Because her expecting, I'm not going to say it's not useful to the movie, but I guess in a way it does, and maybe I read more into it just to kind of make sense of it. Mm-hmm. The thing that bugs me, though, is when she does experience the morning sickness, which is fine.
Yeah.
And again, it's this thing that I feel like we're going to mention a lot, is where the movie has to point out the thing for people who somehow don't understand what's going on and can't infer, use context clues, which I'm not trying to say that everybody is, you know, being willfully obtuse, but like you can't lead every, someone's just gonna have to have it explained to them later on.
Yeah.
So when she asks, does he know? And it's like, why would she ask that?
Right.
I feel like if anyone's gonna ask that question, it would be Vince.
I wonder if the scene plays out exactly as is, but it's Vince that notices and not her.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I think that fixes it.
That fixes and that adds a whole new layer of complexity.
Yes.
Because that conversation with Vince and Brian at the table, like you said, that awkwardness.
Uh-huh.
And Matt Schultz, I can't think of his actual, like the actor's name that plays Vince. Like, dude crushes this.
Yeah.
Because you could just see nothing but seething rage. And not even just for the Mia stuff, but the fact that, like, when he's like, oh, after everything you screwed up in L.A., that pregnant pause, no pun intended, is, like, because, I have one note. Vince is right. Vince hits 100 every time he speaks in his movie. I just want to point that out because, like, dude's like, this is all your fault.
And I love that. Painful truth, Vince. You're not wrong.
in this movie, in this franchise, does so much great things because Brian holds on to that guilt pretty much all the way up until 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps coming back, and he's constantly hounded by this massive mistake he made. And it's great character stuff because they could have easily let that die, and they don't.
Yeah. And that's the good grounded stuff in this movie that I feel like doesn't necessarily happen later on. I don't know. Yeah, I don't love the Mia pregnancy thing. I think I get it. I get it as a way to continue to expand upon the family theme. I get that it adds some new layers to different things, and that's fun, blah, blah, blah. As I just said, you know, whatever, 20 minutes ago, like, Mia gets to do the most stuff in this movie. This is peak Mia, and that's really cool. And this just feels like an excuse to, again, relegate her to, now she's a sexy mom lamp.
And this is something that the series has rightfully been called out for
in
later entries.
Yeah.
And did they get better with it? Yes. Is it still perfect? No. But I do appreciate the fact that they have taken that feedback into account. But when we get to like Fast 8 and maybe even talking about the beginning of 9, there's so much in between though that like plays into that. But that's exactly what it is. And it feels deliberate. Like, and I almost wonder how much of this is like between the people who are, because I don't know exactly who would be among this camp, because it looks like the movies is kind of divided by two people. There's the people who wrote this franchise and want to see it grow, but then you also have the studio types of people looking like, well, it's just got to be A, B, and C, but realizing the audience that they courted is not the one that they got.
Mm-hmm.
They, at this point, they're starting, whether they realize it or not, to lose the meathead car people crowd.
Well, because they're not doing meathead car stuff anymore.
Matter of fact, the one meathead car thing that could have happened, they didn't even film it. It just cuts to them like driving the cars into a building.
Right. No, at this point, people go to see these movies because they're invested in these characters.
Right.
Even, and especially for some people, the female characters.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%. And especially like female characters of color.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm not saying it's perfect and nothing is a monolith or utopia, but like it is a big deal to see, you know, women like this in a big franchise like this.
Yeah.
And anytime that they make these decisions, which we'll get to that when talking about Elena, you know, it does just feel like you're yanking things back like so far. Because, you know what, you're right. I love these movies, but we have to call it as it is and not just with like stars in our eyes, so. I'm sorry, rims in our eyes. Chrome rims in our eyes.
Gold sonic rings in our eyes.
Chrome spinning rims in our eyes. All right, I'm good. I got to write that into the title.
The next note I have is, Vince, I have a job. Me.
Nothing can possibly go wrong. Possibly go wrong. That's the first thing that's ever gone wrong.
Well, that's the first thing that's ever gone wrong.
I don't know why that's so fucking funny. I don't know why that bit is one of my favorites. It's so dumb, but it's so perfect.
Alright, so for those that keep count at home, there's your Simpsons reference for the episode. You're welcome. Thanks, bye.
I feel like we should have like a prize for like, alright, who gets to the Simpsons reference first? God, this scene pissed me off.
I skipped a whole bunch of stuff because the next thing I just have is the Dom Hero shot, lol. So I watched this in two parts, so I can tell I'm starting to get tired. Which means the notes are going to get a little bit more unhinged.
Okay.
So apologies.
That's fine.
So the train thing. The train thing's cool. This whole train scene, Vince's little job. So Vince tells them that they're stealing some cars from a train, and that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool scene. They use this little like trailery thing to kind of scoop the cars from the train, like cut it open the train car and scoop the cars from the train onto this thing and then drive them off, and it's neat. I like it. but it immediately goes wrong. Because it's something that Vince orchestrated, so.
Well, here's what pisses me off. And again, I don't know, I would have done this differently, right? Huh? For starters, and maybe I just missed this, because all the job was literally to grab the cars and steal them.
Yeah.
So Dom doesn't know that the reason why they're stealing the cars is because of a microchip in there for reasons, which whatever, we're not even going to get into all that. But like, it has a microchip in it. So it's weird when the ZZ, who is Hernan Reyes, who's the, I guess, our big bad in this, his henchman who wishes he could be Phoenix, and he sucks. Phoenix or Fast Four, who's my fucking hero.
Complete side note. So this actor looks down to the T, like a guy that I went to high school with, who I'm still friends with to this day. Shout out to my friend John, I love you.
To this day.
It's very distracting. Because he looks like my friend Bean, but he does not sound like my friend Bean. Also, my friend Bean is the sweetest human on this planet, and this guy is a dick.
Well, his new name is now Brazilian Bean.
Hell yeah.
It is Bean, like B-E-A-N. All right, so it's Brazilian Bean.
Yes.
No disrespect to ZZ, but or to your friend, but now it's Brazilian Bean.
Yes.
So, like, when dude is like, I'll take the GT400, why? Why, oh, why does Dom decide to tell Mia, oh, by the way, drive this car somewhere else? You know what I mean?
It's like, because Dom's a mage.
I feel like
we've established that he's like magic.
Right. But this is what bugs me. And Dom's usually the guy, like, if you wanted this job to go wrong, the scene when Brian finds out that they're DEA tags should be the main catalyst as to why at this point the job pops off. Mm-hmm. Because Brian essentially is showing some sort of apprehension, or maybe getting into it with Vince, or then maybe the guy's being like, yo, what's going on? Because it makes no sense when the guy's like, all right, I'll drive that car. What difference does it make for Dom to tell Mia, oh, change of plans, go drive over here? Like, why would you do that? Like, he's, and as much as we try to say Brian fucked up everything, but there's no reason for Dom to do that. Mm-hmm. There's multiple times in the story where that job goes wrong, and there's a couple of people who are like, here, let's try to fix it, and Dom's just like, no. Like, did they know that there was a money thing, or were they just like, was the plan to then steal the cars themselves because they were obviously running low on money and shit? Was that the idea? Because if that's the idea, then fine. It makes sense for a criminal to do more crime stuff to get over on other crime people. Like, that's this whole franchise. But it makes no sense for him to just be like, let's just take this car specifically. They could have maybe snatched any car and been like, all right, cool, here's this car. Give me money, please. Like, I don't understand what the point was.
The thing that I didn't like, or the thing that caught my attention was Dom clocking that something's amiss and putting Mia in danger. Like that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I would fully expect him to be like, no, I'm taking this car. You can kick rocks or, yeah, whatever. I am Groot. But for him to be like, no, she's taking this car, and telling her to like actively do something else, like don't follow these orders, like it struck me as odd.
Yeah, because it doesn't really make sense as to why that would be the case. Because if they're just doing the job, unless it was a situation like with Braga where like they did a job and they were going to get killed at the end of it, which may have happened, yeah, but like, yeah. If they were to steal the cars, what difference does it make? Because unless they were not going to get paid for it or something, them taking the GT400, it's just, obviously I know we got to do plot stuff, but I feel like they could have at least worked in the whole train robbery a little bit better, because as it is, it didn't quite add up why Dom would change plans, because at this point there's no information given that would be like, oh, wait a minute, we should divert from whatever this is, you know, taking place.
Mm-hmm. They are stealing cars from a train. They have the wedge trailer thingy next to the trains to get the cars out. Fine. Cool. I'm here for it. So they get out and shoot cars. Dom and Brian sort of separately smell a rat, and then the plan goes tits up. Fine. Again, I'm still here. So there's a fight on the wedge truck trailer thing, the thing that they're using to get the cars off. And it ends up hitting a train car and gets stuck on the train. Again, sure. So Brian is on this like wedge truck trailer thingy, and he sees with his human eyes, because he's a person, that the fuel line is leaking gas towards a fire and that the thing is about to explode. Then the movie cuts to Dom, who is in an enclosed trailer and not witnessing any of this, but is still reacting as though he does know that his friend is about to be exploded by this fire. And I just want to know why Dom is magic.
Because it's the power of friendship and family.
Okay, well, I need you to notice when I'm about to be exploded at all times.
Well, how many times have I missed an opportunity to do that? Like, has something happened that I didn't clock?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, if I tell you, like, that's like, all right, if you know the future, does, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to finesse me to get, like, lottery numbers or something. But it's my only mutant power is I can only know when you're about to explode.
Uh-huh.
That's all it is. You specifically.
Just me.
Just you.
And you may never even know that you have this power, depending on whether or not I put myself in a situation to be exploded. So,
because now I feel like you're gonna try to do it on purpose, and I'm supposed to like call you, be like, "Yo, you're about to blow up, like, you know, watch out."
My single is dropping. Blow up. Joke for the kids. actual favorite thing from this scene is the guy fighting Paul Walker on the wedge trailer truckie thing. And the guy pulls out a welding thing, like the fire weldy thing. And Paul Walker is, "Please, sir, do not weld me face."
Yes.
I get it. This is a thing for a visual media. So like my explaining it that his face is very funny is not very funny. Go watch the movie. Notice his face. It's pretty funny.
It's great. That jump. I'm sorry. I get real quick though.
Yes.
Up until this point, this is without question the wildest thing to happen to Fast and Furious. Yep. So much so that G and I, shout out to the Fast Crew again, have been trying to replicate this in GTA and cannot find a spot. Because that jump is ridiculous.
Because there's not a place on the map that gets you the height and has the river and the train tracks in a formation that you need it.
Ooh.
To be able to do it. I don't know. Let me think on it.
But yeah, that's it. That stunt's great, but we can move on for now. Because there's not much other than, holy shit, they survived that.
Well, I have some things to add to the not how physics do counter. From this scene.
Well.
Brian jumping off an on fire train onto the back of a convertible. Oh, no. Okay. I get how I complain this now. Okay. So not Brian jumping off of an on fire train onto the back of a convertible. Not him also somehow managing to hold on with his human hands, which absolutely would have been cut up to shit by him trying to hold on to the rope of the wedge truck trailer thingy earlier. But
he was also dragged.
Yes. But also him holding on to the car as it careens into a body of water. And also them not turning into paste upon hitting said water. I have written here, "Sorry, folks, I am here for cheesy action scenes, but I have also seen Mythbusters, so that's a total of 4 on the counter."
Oh my god, because like that is a thing I do, and not in the cinema sense way, but like the, as I like to call the Homer Simpson, "Oh my god, I'd be killed." Because as a kid watching James Bond movies, being like, "I could probably jump off that and be good." Meanwhile, now I step up the curb wrong and I'm like, this might be the last day of my life right here.
Yep. I have to walk. If I'm holding the trash and the recycling and the dog, I'm like also trying to hold on to the railing to make sure I get down the 4 steps to the sidewalk without dying. The things that happen when you turn 30, and you worry about having your body just collapse in on itself.
Bro, I'm going to be 40 in October, so let's go. Yeah, Vince gets kicked out. And this might be the first time that we see, like, Dom actively, like, you know how, like, in the episode of Fast 4, we talked about Dom sort of being out of character?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in that one, him referring to Phoenix as a pussy was, like, weird.
Yeah.
And I understand it in this point, I guess, is meant to be like a, you know, everybody has a breaking point kind of thing. And it was like a heated moment. Because I also maybe wonder if Dom kicked out Vince, not because he generally wanted to kick him out, but it was just easier than possibly getting into like a physical confrontation as somebody he cared for. Because, and this is another thing, like Vince's face when he says that, it's like, oof, my guy is like, you, if you pause it, you can see the exact moment in which his heart breaks.
Exactly.
Damn, but you got the Simpsons counter before I did too. So you have a few counters of Simpsons references, physics related questions.
Some of these counters we're going to have to bring. We'll have to bring with us.
And then, like, Vin Diesel's face when he asked where's, when Vince, because he obviously, I think he knows the answer, because it was a very much a rhetorical, like, go fuck yourself, Dom, way to ask that question. When he's like, where's Letty? And the way that, like, Dom looks at him is like, bro, just, you didn't have to throw that in there, because you know, I'm sure that's probably the first thing he mentioned to you. Also, does Vince know... Because imagine if the fast forward played out differently and turns out if Vince found out that Brian was the one that served her up to begin with, does he know that? Do you think Dom told him? Or do you think he let that go? Because that also adds more layers to the Vince fire in that scene.
I don't know. Because I don't think the movie gives you enough. There's not enough evidence to really point one way or another. Because that's the only mention we get of Letty in this whole movie. R.I.P.
Right.
To a real one. My notes on this were, oh no, curse Vince's sudden but inevitable betrayal. And then Dom taking a rare L by being overly loyal to Vince. Your boy has, in fact, turned his back on family.
Right. And that's why I felt like it's weirdly out of character because, you know, obviously in the case of when, you know, Brian pulled up on him, Dom was the first one to jump up to be like, yo, if he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Like, you know, go chill with all that bullshit. Much like in the same way in several times in 5 and 6, when Brian pulls up on somebody, Rome and Tej are like right there with him. Like they are jumping in pretty much on go for Brian. So it's weird to have someone literally for him to be like, get out, because you're right. Because the way that the movie makes it out to be, if you want to be technical, Dom is the one that put her in that scenario. Why was it important for her to go when they could have just sent Brian there? Unless they figured if you're leaving her behind, they were going to be in danger? I don't know. Unless that was the idea. But
Brian at that point was still on the train.
Right.
So it's not like he was indisposed. I mean, like he was dealing with the DEA stuff. But like he was still available to drive that car if necessary. I don't know.
Because even if, let's say, for instance, that didn't happen, Rhea still would have, you know, like, it is a weird thing for him to kick him out. Because Vince is like, look, if all he wants is the chip, so let me just go take it to him. And at that point, Vince is, as he would say, character arcing. Because he is taking responsibility for what he considers his fuck up. Maybe him doing it in the cover of night was deceptive, which, of course, you know, that was kind of fucked up. Why not just say that from the jump? Why make that a bigger issue for yourself? But if he sent it back, and let's just say, God forbid, Vince got killed for it or whatever, then you know what? He's doing so. So then Dom decided to kick him out and then keep the chip and doing this really is making the problem worse. But, and I don't know if it's a desperation play, like even Dom, who's usually like pretty sure and like, you know, on his feet, maybe he's kind of feeling the pressure a little bit and he's kind of acting a little out of pocket, which if that's the case, then fine, but it doesn't read that way.
And I wonder if you're supposed to read it as the fact that it's Vince. Like, I wonder if like that is sort of clouding his judgment a little bit, or like clouding his read on the situation. Like,
right,
this is dude from like back in the day kind of deal.
I think that is definitely a part of it. But again, it's just thing of, it's a good scene. It's just with a little more time, and I know that time adds up, but a little more time, we could have really gotten to some like really good stuff with that.
So as we established with some audio that we definitely just edited out, we're going to go ahead and cut this bad boy into a two-parter. We love a two-parter on this podcast. So I'm going to tell you where the folks can find us on the internet. The folks can find us on Twitter, not known as X. Adrian runs that over there because I left because reasons. The handle over there is TLAT Podcast on Instagram. That's me and my smiling, shiny, happy face. The handle over there is TLAT Podcast. We have an email address, TLATpodcast@gmail.com. We have a website. The website is adrianhasissues.com/TLATpodcast. That website's
cool. We are also on Blue Sky.
We are also on Blue Sky. Have we posted anything on Blue Sky?
Yes, we actually did.
Poggers. Look at
if
us
you
go.
Know us there, please follow us there. I think like Elizabeth, shout out to Elizabeth, she's the best. I think she follows us there, and I know we're trying to get that built up as
so it's not just you and me and Elizabeth.
It honestly it might be. But
please follow us on Blue Sky. It's very sad right? and lonely over
please
there.
Please love us. Validate our feelings. Run those numbers up, pump the stock.
They've got gifts now. Right? You can send DMs, so slide into our DMs. Please don't send us pictures of your genitalia. Thanks. I was going to say nice stuff about the website. You got me distracted.
I'm sorry, but please say the nice things about the website. Please once again validate my...
Please love I'm sorry. The website... That was a reference. The website's cool because not only can you listen to our episodes there, you can listen to episodes of Adrian Has Issues over there. You can listen to episodes of the Latin Nerd Experience over there. Adrian's doing some blogging over there. Yes. There's other stuff on the website that I don't remember because my brain is tired. The website's dope. We love the website. Go to the website. Spotify is a hellscape, but we have playlists and stuff over there too. So check us out on Spotify. All the podcast streaming apps that I know of don't exist anymore. So I guess stream us where podcasts exist.
Yeah. So right now we're on Spotify, iHeart, pretty much other than the ones that were recently shut down. I think we're on pretty much most of them. Unless if we aren't any place, hit us up on any of those places. Let us know. Hey, you jerks, put your podcast here and it'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
And then we do it.
And then we'll do it. We'll figure it out. We're smart. That's it. Are we still the number one podcast blocked by Smash Mouth? Are we still doing that?
That's why
are we
still I'm pretty doing much that keep, bit? No, we're holding on to that. That's why I have not left Twitter. I would never, because we still need to be the number one podcast blocked by Smash Mouth. Worry about it, as the homie would say.
I just didn't know if that bit's funny anymore, because he...
Okay. I'm going to ruin the end of this podcast by saying a thing.
Okay.
I am in no way, because I don't actually, shit, this is a weird place to put this. I don't know, maybe I'll put this as like a side thing. I am in no way going to like somehow make light of his passing, because that is a terrible way to go. However, I will say off the record, though, you know, like,
know. Objectively, they blocked us for saying a thing that was true.
Yes. We weren't like roasting him or shit talking him. We basically were pointing out the fact that their opinion on vaccinations was a little misguided.
Yeah. So, and then we just showed them some receipts and they didn't like it. I just didn't know. I was just asking if it was in bad taste. But
I don't know. They're still a band. Like, because basically, even prior to his passing, they had had a new singer. So yeah. It's not like he left the band because he died or that had anything to do with him, because that was well before any of that was ever even a factor. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, so tell you what, we can tell you what we'll do this. You could say the line, and then
say the line.
If we can always, you know, confer and maybe go back and forth on whether or not we want to or not. If you feel weird about it, you don't have to say it, because I was gonna use it honestly.
No, I honestly, it was one of those stream of consciousness things, because I don't think that I had said the line since he passed. So
we could always just be like rest IP or rest IP. Wow,
rest IP couldn't be me. Whatever. Okay, so we are still the number one podcast blocked by Smash Mouth, and I love that for us.
Indeed. Get your vaccinations, kids.
Yes. Now I realize that we did this backwards, so now you have to say the line. Can you say the line? This is a lot of pressure for you.
Oh, I don't often do this. Okay, hold on. Let's see.
So here, let me set you up for it. So that's the last part that I'm going to talk on. Adrian, do you have any advice for the kids out there?
Let's see. If you get swallowed by a whale, make sure it's in a region that doesn't have extradition. I don't know. Good night, everybody.
All right, bye. Extradite these nuts.
Oh, that's definitely used as the post theme stinger.